Hour number two, Darren, Donica, Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Max Herz behind the glass. Don't forget, This Is What I Know coming up at 11:45. A chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see Black Keys at Bridgestone Arena on October 1st. Black Keys, Bridgestone Arena, October 1st. And all you have to do is tell us what you know. They've come out with some scheduling times. Tennessee will host Georgia. That will be October 5th. Of course, they have a bye week this week, and so when they come back off the bye, they'll be hosting Georgia. That game has been set for the night game on ESPN.
That'll be cool. The bye is favored by 5, just so you know. Lions came out
7 yesterday. O'clock.
Nothing? No.
I laughed, Chase.
Thank you.
I laughed off air.
Thank you.
6 o'clock this, central, sorry.
Get some new material. You know, we've used this before. Come on. Get,
what? I didn't
the bye is favored by 5.
I said the bye is favored by 5.
Come on.
What are you? What side are you taking?
Oh, I'll lay the 5. What I've seen so far, I'll lay the 5.
Okay. So Georgia at Tennessee will be 6 o'clock central on ESPN. Vanderbilt at Ole Miss, where Max Herz will be down there in the Grove. Not sure he'll know his name by the end of the game, but he's going to be in attendance. That game is set for 6:30 kickoff central time. That will be shown on SEC Network. Auburn at Florida has been deemed the CBS game of the week. So that'll be the 2:30 game. Auburn at Florida.
That'll be a good game.
Will be a good game, huh? And then you've got Troy at Missouri, Utah State at LSU. Missouri carved up South Carolina.
Yeah.
That's
intriguing. Who picked South Carolina and not underdogs? Since you want to give me a hard time.
Missouri is looking like they are emerging as the team right behind Florida, right? Georgia, if you believe Georgia, Florida, 1-2. You have to go Missouri clear number 3 right now.
Yeah.
Not even close, right? They've separated themselves at this point.
Who are you going to argue for that third spot?
Well, it's noteworthy because they blew the first game. They lost the first game to Wyoming. Like, what? Yeah. You were thinking, well, maybe Missouri, the sanctions and all that, maybe they're not on the same page, can't go to a bowl, all that stuff. But they've got it. They got it revved up now.
I can tell you this, though. That game that you were just talking about with Florida and Auburn, that's where you're going to find out if Florida's for real or if they're a fraud. Because that four-game stretch for them, Auburn – at LSU, at South Carolina, they should win that. And then Georgia at home, or Georgia in Jacksonville, you're going to find out if they're for real or if they're phony.
And just Auburn, the schedule. They have, if you wanted to write up, like, let's see if we could write up the toughest schedule you could figure out.
We talked about it at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, they've got it. And so far,
it's brutal.
They've checked off 2 of the difficult games. I mean, they've got with a true freshman quarterback.
Yep. Beat Oregon. And by the way, none of them at home.
Right.
Beat A&M and Oregon on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, Oregon was a neutral site, but still. Unbelievable. I've got some odds for you guys.
Ooh. I like odds.
BetOnline.ag. Our buddy Jimmy Shapiro, who's alive and well.
I purposely don't look at these, just so you know. I've learned.
Good.
I don't look.
This just came out. I brought up Jim Harbaugh, right? Bad, 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 bad. By the way, Shea Patterson. Woof.
Woof.
Like, clearly.
Well, my thing was coming to fruition, and then Dylan McCaffrey took a shot to the head and got a concussion, and so we don't even know. Yeah. Like,
they're a mess. Their offense is brutal. So, the odds, let's just start here. The odds of Jim Harbaugh returning as Michigan's coach in 2020, what's yes and what's no?
That's a good question.
He'll be back.
I'm going to say yes is probably like a minus 120, something like that. I don't know.
Is it in a minus or is it odds?
Got odds.
Okay.
So what would that be? And I always
look. Is it low? It'd be 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
Yes is 2-1. No is even.
Okay, then,
you get even money.
Yeah. No is even money.
That makes sense.
How about that? So.
Well, I don't think they're going to fire him, though.
He
will hit the escape hatch.
He could pull the ripcord.
He goes back to the NFL.
That's what I think.
Well,
that's what I said. We've had this discussion in Texas. He's going to He's going. That's what I have believed for a while, that Jim Harbaugh is going to go running back to the NFL. So, with that being said, no Harbaugh back in the fold. BetOnline.ag has got odds on their next coach. So,
already?
Who would be the favorite, according to BetOnline.ag,
I mean,
as the next head coach at Michigan, if he were to fly the coop? However, he gets fired, he leaves, whatever.
I know this would be crazy to think, but is Herb on that list? Since
he's on the list.
He's got to be on
the
list.
But he's not the favorite.
Not the favorite.
He's down
the
list.
Favorite.
He is 7-1.
I wouldn't even know where to start because I'm trying to think of Michigan ties because they like to go that route.
Yeah, which maybe they should get out of that routine.
That hasn't
Rich
really
Rodriguez 2.0. he's going to be there.
Rich Rodriguez. Brady Hoke coming back.
Did you see Ole Miss on Saturday?
Butch Jones.
Do you think Rich Rod is in demand?
No. Stock is a little down.
Yeah. Who?
Who'd I you said say? Butch Jones. Oh, yeah. I was joking. No.
David Shaw is the favorite, 3-1. Which, you know,
his stock really?
The favorite?
His stock is down.
They're not playing so well.
No. No, they're not. Bronco Mendenhall is 3.5-1. Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia, which
4-0. Big game this week.
They were down in that
game.
Yeah,
they struggled.
What in the world
but
is going on?
But they got it done, and they did. Now they get – who do they play? They play Notre Dame? Is that right?
Who?
This week?
They have a tough game. Is it Notre Dame that goes there this week?
Give me a minute. They play Notre Dame Notre Dame.
It's at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Okay.
South Bend.
So we'll find out a little bit about
their next
the Cavaliers.
Let's see. They have at Notre Dame, at Miami, Florida, Duke, at Louisville, at North Carolina, home against Georgia Tech, Liberty, and Virginia Tech. I mean, it's not a murderer's row. It's not like they've really – they don't get Clemson.
They don't play Clemson.
No.
That's a nice
– yeah.
So they could rack up a nice little record there. So Mendenhall, I can see where his – you can vision it, right? His stock is up. They have a good year. He's won a lot.
He went 2-10, 6-7, 8-5 last year. That's his time at Virginia.
So are most of these kind of the up-and-comers or the – not the sexy names?
No, not at all.
Is the Pirate on the list?
No, he's not. After Bronco is Kyle Whittingham. 4-1, which I'm surprised. I mean, maybe he's just one of those guys that's just comfortable at Utah.
Yeah.
But you know what? And I know they just lost, right? They just lost to USC, but Friday night. But he has had them very, very – he's been very good
at
Utah.
Solid for a long period of time.
Right, for a long time. Dino Babers, 5-1.
Don't know the player. Don't know him. What's it? Brian Harsin from Boise State, is he on that list?
Mike Gundy, 7-1. Same odds as
Gundy.
Urban Meyer. Which
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well.
Well, the guy from Boise State intrigues me. They're starting to crank it up again.
That's why I thought about him, and so I looked at his record. And I mean, he fits that category of kind of being the next big thing, sexy thing.
Luke Fickell, 8-1. So not exactly a... Right, that didn't really get people excited, did it?
Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
That's an Ohio State guy.
Cincinnati.
Right? But he's a Buckeye.
Look,
they're going to hire a Buckeye.
I don't think he's going to be at Cincinnati much longer, though. Well,
they'd be hiring Urban Meyer, who just came from Ohio State.
But he didn't play there. Luke Fickell is like, he played for the Buckeyes. That'd be hard to stomach, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, Bo Schembechler was on the staff for Woody Hayes, right, before he became the Michigan coach. Mm-hmm. So there is, I guess, precedent. To a degree.
And I mean, if the guy wins, do you care? I mean, I understand.
Well, in Michigan, the way they've hired people, they seem to care.
Yeah. I mean, they have made those ties.
I guess the point is,
here's how I'll answer your question. Do you care if they win? Well, no. I guess you don't care about a whole lot if you're winning. But if you don't win, it gets used against you pretty fast.
Right.
Right?
True. Very true. I think it's like, okay, we'll look at the record, we'll look past the rival school part, but if you come in and you screw this up, then we're going to remind you where you went to school. So, yeah, that's a good point. Well, interesting. Thank you for the odds.
I don't believe he's back. I believe he'll run to the NFL. I just do. There's going to be a lot of openings in the NFL. There may be some really attractive ones. If the Falcons can't get things turned around, could be an opening there. If the Steelers can't get things turned around.
I think that could be.
You don't think that's not? Why are you shaking your head? No, Max.
I don't think they fire Mike Tomlin after this.
Are you kidding me? I completely disagree.
It would be the perfect scenario for Harbaugh.
There have been people already for years saying it's time to move on from Tomlin. What if they finish 4-12? No way. I get it. The Steelers don't have a hit, but he's been there a long time. He's been there. It's not like Mike Tomlin's in his fourth year. He's been there a long time.
I think it just depends on what happens with whether or not Roethlisberger decides to retire, decides to push back.
He's already said he's coming back.
Yeah.
He's already made a statement saying he's going to honor his contract. But to me, that's the perfect scenario for Harbaugh because you know you're going to have Ben for a couple more years. You're probably at this rate, being 0-3, you're going to have a high draft pick so you can get the next guy. He can develop the quarterback behind Ben. And then you're right back to being the Steelers again. So if I'm him and I'm leaving Michigan to go back to the NFL, that probably is the job at the top of my list.
And you don't think two games a year? You don't think the Ravens-Steelers isn't already a huge deal? What about the networks? Can you imagine Harbaugh versus Harbaugh twice a year, maybe three times a year?
The networks aren't the ones making the decision, though.
I understand, but I'm saying look how much attention they would get for that hire. And not that the Steelers need attention. I get it. They're gonna get the best candidate. But, I mean, he did have success in the NFL. I don't know. I mean, that's what's interesting. You do wonder at some point. It's like Chip Kelly. Like Chip Kelly, minus this incredible gag job by Washington State over the weekend. Chip Kelly's 0-4 and just looks like a complete dud and a zero in college football. And I get it. They came back and won and scored 67 points. But Chip Kelly, does anybody think, oh, man, when I think of the great minds in college football today, it's not Chip Kelly. Mm-mm. And you do wonder, like, at some point, is Jim Harbaugh just a lot of talk and a lot of, you know, fanfare and a lot of just all this stuff about Jim Harbaugh when you get down to it, what meaningful games has he won?
It's a good question because I almost think.
So how good is he really?
I think you look at his NFL career and you're a little more impressed than what you've seen in his collegiate career.
I think you got to give him his due at Stanford. I think he did a pretty tremendous job. Because that program was, I think, they had an O end.
Do you know how long ago that's been now at Stanford?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying. What big games has he won? I mean, he did a heck of a job.
He did.
Building Stanford to really where it is. Shaw took over for him and has maintained. But he did a heck of a job there. And I think you have to say he did pretty well for the 49ers.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. The Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how many NFC title games did they go to?
So the Michigan thing comes down to not winning the big games, right? I think they're 0-6 or something on the road. Like when they play ranked teams on the road, They have not had any success. They haven't won. And like you said, the biggest wins, I guess, are against the Penn State, the James Franklin Penn States, when the games have been played in Ann Arbor. Other than that, there's not a lot of signature things, but they have won the games that are supposed to win. But it's got to be frustrating for their people that they haven't had. That's what's missing, right? The big win.
No offense, they don't hire Michigan coaches to beat Penn State.
Right, I mean, but okay, let's look at the guys before him. I mean, like they had some struggles there.
Oh,
right.
I agree.
We just mentioned the Rich Rod and the Brady Hoke.
I mean,
they didn't win a lot.
Brutal. But when you're beating Nebraska and Illinois and Indiana and those, it's like, okay, well, that's a given. But they kind of
hadn't been a given, right? They had slumped.
Yeah,
down a level.
I see what you're saying. I mean, there had been a struggle, but he hasn't beaten Ohio State, and then you know. Michigan State's obviously the other one that you got to take care of. But, you know, they look just non-existent against Wisconsin. I picked Wisconsin, but I didn't think it was going to be like that.
I'm just saying, do I think the Steelers, that would be intriguing. I think there's a chance the Panthers comes open. Ron Rivera doesn't make it. There's going to be openings.
The Jags
could come open.
But he's going to be very selective. Because he can afford to be. He doesn't have to leave. Because like we said, we don't think they're going to fire him. So he doesn't have to leave. So he's going to be very selective. And if you're him and you look at some of these potential jobs that are going to be open, if, you know, Carolina, okay. But you got some questions. You got a lot of questions there. And, yes, you have that with Pittsburgh, but you're going to be in a better position to draft what's next and then know that you have Roethlisberger, too, that you can, you know, you can trust him for a year or two. I just think Pittsburgh, to me, that would be the job.
Well, and it's he loves to be in the limelight. He loves to be on the showcase. And
he would be.
Steelers, you're the head coach of the Steelers, you get that. Just saying, it's intriguing. I understand the even money on whether he'll be back or not. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because, by the way, don't they have another loss? I mean, they're going to lose again, right?
Yeah.
Anybody think they're going to run the table?
Michigan?
They still have to play Notre Dame, Michigan State, Ohio State.
They're not beating Ohio State.
Penn State, Iowa. I mean, is there not more losses coming?
They're not beating Ohio State right now, not from what I've seen.
No.
Ohio State's a buzzsaw.
Well, who have they played, though? Has Ohio State really been tested?
No.
Yet?
Not really.
No, I mean, they're doing their little tour of the MAC teams.
They're scoring 70 on the MAC teams.
That's what they do. I mean, I think they're good, but I wouldn't just mark that down. Where is the game? Is it in?
It's in Ann Arbor.
So they got them at home. They've been better at home. I don't know if I'd just mark that down yet. But they've got to get the quarterback thing straightened out here.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got to start. And there's a lot of complaints about the offensive coordinator. Like, how are they going about it? Like, not utilizing the talent that's there for them. But, boy, coming up with a goose egg until you're down 35 points, that's troubling.
Bob Williams on Twitter says, why is a failed college coach a hot NFL commodity? I don't know. Just ask the Arizona Cardinals. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. What up, Stack? We agree. By the way, a couple news and notes. This is what I know coming up. A pair of tickets to see Black Keys at Bridgestone Arena on October 1st. That's coming up in about 20, 25 minutes or so. Also, we have tweeted out the video at 102.5 The Game, and it is for Auburn tickets this weekend. Home game for the Tigers. They host Mississippi State. All you have to do to be qualified to win these tickets is just retweet that video. That's it. At 102.5 The Game. It takes 2 seconds, and somebody's going to win those tickets to see Auburn and Mississippi State. The Predators reduced their roster down to 32 players over the weekend. Fun game Saturday night.
Yeah. That was
Predators get a goal with 3 seconds left, 4 seconds, whatever.
I believe 3.4.
Whatever. Like I said, whatever. Is that what it was officially? 3.4?
Yep, that's right.
Matt Duchene would tie it up, and then Rem Pitlick would win it shortly after that in overtime. It's fun, man. People were going crazy.
I got to say, for a preseason game, it was a great – it was a fun game because it was 5-4, went back and forth, and – you know, for the most part, the pace was excellent. There weren't a whole lot of lulls in the game. But for the preseason, that was a great atmosphere, I thought.
Agreed. So some of the moves that they made, Lucas Craggs, who Hal and I talked to in postgame, in Barrelhouse after the game, who played at Bowling Green State, led the NCAA in penalty minutes this past year.
Yep, and picked up a few more on Saturday.
Yes, he did.
And he decided to mix it up with Shin. Not sure that was a good idea.
Well,
that guy
got to see what you got.
Yeah. Welcome to the NHL, kid.
Yeah. Jeannot, who scored a goal, you know, he has been sent back to Milwaukee. Let's see. Jeremy Davies, who they acquired in the Devils trade for BK Subban, has also been sent to Milwaukee. Connor Ingram, sent to Milwaukee. And they released some guys. Ken Appleby, who was one of the goaltenders that they used in preseason. So currently they have 18 forwards and 11 defensemen. They also released some guys that have passed through waivers.
Yep.
Like Blackwell and Grossnick and who else?
Is it Dauphin? Is that how you say his name?
Laurent Dauphin.
Dauphin.
Yeah. Dauphin?
Yeah. He was one of those.
Just depends on how French you want to go. Dauphin? Dauphin?
Sure.
He was the number one star. He was the number one star of the game. So these are all guys. So once those guys pass through waivers, that will get the number down lower. True?
Yes. I would think.
So yeah. They're still 32, but Dauphin and...
Because Grosnick and all of them were still listed on the
They're
on
still
the
on the 32.
Yeah.
So that number will go down to more like 26, 27.
Which is
right,
very close to where they want to be. Rem Pitlick, Ellie Tolvanen were also in that group. Trennan in that group. Josh Wilkins in that group. All yep. sent down to Milwaukee. Now, for all the people going, Rem Pitlick, Ellie Tolvanen, what are they doing? Which I got a lot of those texts or tweets.
Yeah, we were talking about it.
It's like, oh, hey, relax, okay? They're not just on the radar. They're there, okay? They know what they have in those guys. And I would say right now, Rem Pitlick is a little ahead of Tolvanen, just probably because of experience, right? Yep, a little bit
I'd
older.
I agree with that.
Just barely, but they've both made their mark, man. They're on the radar. The first call up, something happens, which is inevitable. They're going to get their chances, and I think Pitlick will be the first to.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
I agree with you.
Depends
on
what you need, in terms of what role opens up. I just think the fact that Pitlick has gotten into the discussion with Tolvanen, and it says a lot about Pitlick, because I think Tolvanen's played well. Tolvanen has been a pro longer. Pitlick, remember, was playing college hockey until late last season. So I think he can definitely use some games at Milwaukee to get more familiar with the pro game. But I don't know if you could play much better than he did. He played fantastic.
Think about how he won the game. I mean, to stay with that play and get the game winner.
Great play.
Great play.
I asked Kevin McCarthy after the game because he did the press conference. Peter Laviolette was in meetings. So Kevin McCarthy was there, and I said, you obviously want the goal. The goal wins the game, but was it how he stayed with the play, how he fought through that and was able to keep the puck? And he said that's what has impressed him and the coaching staff the most is just his resolve and how he's determined, and you see that work ethic, and it pays off on a play like that. So that stood out to me, just how he stuck with that play and then buried the chance, because that's what you have to do. I'm with Darren. I think Pitlick is the one you see first. I think you see both of them, sooner rather than later.
Both of them will be here at some point.
I'm not saying like March. I think before the first of the year, you see both of those guys because they're there. They're very, very close, and they're going to need guys like that as the season goes on. But, as you guys know, you have to continue the evaluation process for the next week or so, and there are some guys on the bubble. And they are very much on the bubble. And so you want to see them play in these next two games to see, okay, are they going to stick or is it time to move on? And because you know what you have in Pitlick and Tolvanen.
I think many times guys like that who have played well in camp get rewarded by sticking around longer in camp. But I think it illustrates that the depth has gotten better. Mm-hmm. And there's still quite a bit to sort out in the last few roster spots. The last year, maybe 2 years, I think they've kept 8 defensemen and only 1 extra forward. This year, I'm hard pressed to see them keeping 8 defensemen.
I'm with you.
I think they'll probably want to keep 2 extra forwards because remember the name of the game is to try to keep as many NHL players, guys who you're comfortable having in the lineup in your stable. You might have to expose a couple of guys to waivers. Remember, Austin Watson was exposed to waivers a couple years ago. They slid him through there. And thankfully, that's what happened because he came back up a different player when he got a chance. And now he's done what he's done. But, somebody like a Freddie Gaudreau or a Daniel Carr or a Mika Salamaki, if you just do the math, one of those guys is going to have to go down.
Well, I told you.
And they could lose one of them.
We had this discussion, the three of us at Fort Ice, and I was hinting weeks ago, like, there's going to be some guys make this roster that were not on the roster last year. It's going to happen out of camp. And I feel even stronger today to what you just said. And I'm going to tell you why I believe it's going to be Daniel Carr. Because of what you just said. I don't believe they believe they can sneak Daniel Carr through waivers.
Mm-mm.
I think if they expose him.
He's on a one-way deal, too, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose
all 3 of those guys are on one-way deals. And part of the one-way deal is you have to pay them the NHL salary, even if they're playing in the AHL.
Correct.
So it's a costly deal, but it's the price you pay for guys you feel comfortable putting in your lineup. They've got some experience. But I think Carr will be a guy that will have a lot of focus in these last two
Yep.
Preseason games. I think they're going to they'll probably give him a good look.
I think there's two guys that are going to get real strong looks this week. Like it's vitally important for me to be right on what I was saying a couple of weeks ago of some surprise roster moves, the guys that weren't on the roster last year. Carr and Santini are the two guys, the focus, these final two preseason games.
Santini is right on the bubble, and I do think they have to determine is he six, is he seven, is he eight, right? And then Matt Irwin is competing for that same spot, and then there's the youngsters like Carrier, who I think, if I had to guess, is probably...
They waived him.
Yeah.
He passed through.
So he will go back to Milwaukee. Yep. I think he had a good look, and... He's probably in that nine range. And, you know, Donovan, has he cleared to go down?
Yep.
There's another guy that's played a few serviceable guys. You always have to think, like, what if we had a rash of injuries? Who's the next guy? But 5, 6, 7, I think Hamus and Weber to start the season as 5 and 6 is a pretty good bet.
That's what I think.
So it's Irwin, Santini for 7. Right?
Yep.
That's what it looks like.
And I think they're keeping 7. I think they've kept 8 in the past. I think they're keeping 7.
I think they're too deep at forward. And so they can't.
To keep 8.
Yeah. They can't keep 8.
And so who would you, if you had to expose one, could you slide? You know, these are both guys on
an
NHL contract,
right? Considering they got Santini through the trade, I think it's probably going to give them a little bit of a leg up because you don't want to trade PK Subban away and the two guys that you got in return, you lose one. And so I think he's going to get.
The benefit of the doubt.
He's going to get the benefit of the doubt because he came in that trade.
I think they give him an opportunity. I think Matt Irwin is waived. Whether he clears or not, you know, who knows? But I think he's probably the one that's out. And then looking at forwards, I'm leaning Freddie. I think Freddie's the one that they would try and pass through. I think Daniel Carr, I'm not going to say he's a lock. I've heard people say he's a lock, but I think he's pretty close to making it. I think they really want to see what he has. And then they, you know, Peter Laviolette's going to have a lot to play with to rotate guys in and out because, you know, as we know, not everybody's going to be able to play. So there are going to be, you know, scratches and stuff. And I think he's going to have, you know, some depth that he can work in and out.
And we're talking about guys who probably aren't in the opening night lineup. We're talking about the extra forwards. Yeah. And those are pretty good options for extra forwards. And so if you look at the 12 forwards that they're likely to dress, not knowing exactly how they're going to disperse them. I really like the depth.
We'll come back on the other side and talk about the power play that was clicking Friday and Saturday. We'll discuss that and maybe a couple other roster moves. Throw these guys away. We'll do that on the other side. This is what I know in about 10 minutes or so. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
10.9 seconds left. The face-off to the left of Scott Wedgwood. Here is Duchesne giving it to Josi. Quick shot. Stick save is made. 5 seconds to go. Swing in front. Duchesne scores! That's Duchesne scores! 3.4 to go! 6-on-5. The Predators tie it up.
They would go on and win in overtime. Two more preseason games. Wednesday night back at Bridgestone Arena against Carolina. And then those same two teams in Raleigh Friday night. And then it's on. Regular season begins a Thursday night in early October right here. Preds hosting the Minnesota Wild. Speaking of that, Preds fans, don't forget second annual Preds Fest this Sunday, September 29th from 2 until 6 p.m. There's going to be Predators players, appearances, live entertainment, used equipment sale. It's fun for the whole family. Stop by our tent. ESPN The Game will be there. There's going to be some great prizes and some game gear, so keep that in mind. Bridgestone Arena, it's free, and it's from 2 to 6 this Sunday, September 29th. So let's talk about the power play a little bit. Could have been 3 power play goals on Saturday night. It ended up being 2 officially, but the other one was coming right off a man advantage. I think it was, 5 seconds later?
Yep.
And
Tolvanen's goal.
Yep. And that was a nice pass from, what was it, Carrier?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Wilkins.
Wilkins. You're right. It was Wilkins.
Wilkins.
By the way, I always want to call him Jeff. Jeff Wilkins. He was a kicker. Josh Wilkins. But, yeah, nice pass from Wilkins. So, what do you guys make? Power play goal on Friday night down in Tampa, which was kind of what they envisioned as the second unit, which was Bonino and Granlund and Turris. So they had a power play goal, and then we got to see guys we haven't seen to this point in preseason, you had the big guns out there, Johansson and Arvidsson and Forsberg and Yossi, Duchesne, all those guys making their first appearance, and that seems to be what we're going to see on that first power play unit. What did you make of it?
You have to put it in its context of who it was against. Like, it wasn't, there weren't a whole lot of NHL defensemen. It was a backup goalie, you know, third string minor league goalie in there, although he played really well, I thought. But that being said, the movement and the confidence looks pretty good. I think they're going to start off the season feeling pretty good about, you know, where everybody's supposed to be and what options are there. It's different, right? They are going all in on the one defenseman, four forward. Duchesne and what he can do on that side of the net play. I was talking to Hal Gill about this. Him down there and Victor Arvidsson in the middle position in the high slot is new.
Bingo.
Right? And so Arvidsson, this will be a chance for him to maybe expand his ways of scoring.
Because you're putting him on the side he needs to be on. He's not on his offhand. He's on.
Right.
That, I was having somebody explain that to me, that the biggest part of this is where Arvidsson is going to be is he's on his natural side. He's not on the offside, which at times last year he was, and teams were able to expose that. So that's the biggest thing that stood out to me, is you can put everybody in the place that they're supposed to be in.
So I it's encouraging. I also like just watching Duchesne in the Predator uniform for the first time. I mean, I've seen him play against the Predators many, many times, but he was pretty dynamic on Saturday. That was a good sign. Now, the question is, are they actually going to try using Duchesne and Forsberg in the regular season?
Mm.
Are they going that way? Or
I like it.
It kind of looks
they keep
like
Joe
it.
Together?
Like it.
Well, today, I think Johansson and Turris are on the same line. Turris playing the wing. Turris on the wing is a big question for this team on how you do it. Because a line that did click a lot during the latter portion of last year, really give them a lift, was Sissons, Yarncroke, and Smith. So that line does have history together if you wanted to slide Craig Smith down to more of a third line. And that way you've got Nick Bonino, Austin Watson anchoring the fourth line with somebody like Rocco Grimaldi in there. A little speed presence with the muscle of Watson and the craftiness of Bonino. If Turris can make it happen on the wing, like, you know, Granlund's in there too. Like, Granlund's such a, you know, we don't talk about him much, but he's a giant factor on this team. Like, what kind of year does he have? Does he get back to the type of production that he had? If he does, wow. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities.
And you get Turris back. But I'm going to say this, because of what you brought up with Forsberg and Duchesne, I kind of hope they do break up Jofa. Not in a, and I don't mean that in a, oh, you got to break up Jofa. I want to see more. I want to see them have, you know, two top lines instead of the one. You know what you have with Jofa. You know it works. You can put it back together anytime, and you know it's going to work because it has for the last few years. So if you add Duchesne in there and you move Johansson and you're moving pieces around, and then all of a sudden you get two top lines, that's a good thing, and I think that's what they're trying to do.
I think you make the point. You can always go back to Jofa.
You know it works.
Yeah.
The guys we talked about, Richard, Blackwell, Dauphin, Donovan, Carrier, Grosnick, have all cleared waivers, as we said. So that does knock the roster down to 26 now. So they're down to 26. Three more spots. Got to get it down to 23. Three more spots. So currently the roster at 26. We'll come back with Tawick. This is What I Know. Tell us what you know next.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, tell us what you know. This is what I know. The best call. This segment's going to win a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys, Bridgestone Arena. That's October 1st, but you better bring it. Let's get some calls. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Who wants to start? There's a ton of stuff out there. Come on.
Go ahead, Willie. I'll give you the starting
This is what I know. The targeting call in college football is really intriguing, and it's a work in progress. I saw a very interesting play on Saturday, late in the game. The game was over, but Vanderbilt gets a pick six to score against LSU's backup quarterback, where a guy, and it reminded me a little bit of the Correa play on Thursday night. Guy comes around the end and really has, in my mind, a very textbook how you should hit the quarterback, right? He plants his head in the sternum slash shoulder area of the quarterback. But what happens sometimes on hits like that, and this happens in hockey too, the quarterback's head jolts, right? He didn't hit him in the head, but his head jolts the same way. So the action at live speed looks the same. And so if the referee is standing there, I don't blame him for throwing the flag. But I do like, and this was that there was confusion here, and I think I was confused as well, even though we had Steve Shaw on. What happened is they threw the flag, the pick six happens, so it looks like, well, this is coming back. They look for targeting, they determine, no, the guy did not target, it was a good hit, and so the touchdown stands. I didn't know you could pick up the flag, and the announcers didn't either. Did you guys know that?
Mm-mm.
Keep that in mind if for future games, because you know the game wasn't on the line here, so not a lot of people were watching. They had the referee come in, and he was explaining it. But it's keep this in the back pocket, right? This new rule for you can actually pick up the flag for targeting. I think it's the right thing, though, because how in the world are you supposed to tell at live speed whether the guy, if my head jolts, how do I know whether you hit me in the shoulder or the helmet? It's not clear cut in real time. So that's what I know.
Okay. This is what I know. And I've seen little signs of this lately, but it became official Friday night. Went out with some people, and I was by far the oldest in the group. And it has finally hit me that I'm older now, because we went to a club, and I haven't been to a club in I don't know how long, and I immediately found a couch and went and sat down because I was like, no, I'm done.
Wow. This is your early 30s mentality?
Man.
Yeah, good luck.
Well,
wait till you get to our age.
Whew. No, I know, but
you'll be like eating dinner at 5 o'clock.
Basically. Look, I had fun. But, you know, at this point, it was like 1 in the morning, and I'm just, you know, watching people dance, and I can't dance, and I'm just like, this is where we're at now. Okay. This is where we're at in life.
Okay.
So that's what I know. All it's right. A sad truth.
This is what I know. This sound.
Hairball?
That's coming from Chicago right now. The Cubs.
Oh, wow.
What a choke job by the Cubs. Oh,
against the Cardinals, too. What a nightmare that must have been to watch.
Swept.
If you're a Cubs fan.
At home by the Cardinals. You lose the two games prior to that to the Reds. What a gag job. And then I'm starting to read stuff like Joe Maddon. Is he coming back? Are they moving on from Joe Maddon?
Is Theo Epstein leaving to go back to Boston? That's the rumor?
The Padres have an opening, and I'm looking at odds at their next manager, and Joe Madden's on the list, and he's way up there. I'm like, what?
It's also the way they're losing. They've had the lead in a lot of these games, late in the game.
And this is what else I know. If you didn't see this, pretty funny moment. I think this was Saturday, the day game. Tony Kemp, our buddy on the show, thought he struck out, was heading to the dugout, and they called him back like, no, come on, you're not done, son. Very next pitch. Home run to give the Cubs the lead. They still gagged it away.
Well, that's awesome. That's what's been excruciating for the Cubs fans is they've been tied or in the lead. All the games have come right down to the last couple innings.
Kimbrel, how's he looking?
Ooh.
Yeah, Kimbrel. Remember I said maybe he's just not – maybe
better.
The rest of the league was just like maybe he's just not that good and not worth that kind of money?
I was upset the Braves didn't bring him back, but now I'm feeling good about that.
You were one that was beating that drum.
Kimbrel,
they could have got Kimbrel.
Speaking of baseball, Ned Yost announcing he will retire.
The baseball man.
Yep.
All right. Let's find out what you know. 737-1025. Best call Tickets to Black Keys, October 1st, Bridgestone Arena. Let's start with Tony in South Nashville. He's been waiting patiently. Tony, tell us what you know.
Gentlemen, being a native Nashvilleian, and Willie, you know I've been to many events downtown, worked downtown the last 16, 20 years of my life with the government at Bridgestone Arena. And we've all been to a lot of sporting events where there's been a lot of alcohol consumption. However, we have got to all tip our hat to the LSU fans this weekend who come to Broadway and sit down and drink up all the vodka at two or three restaurants by Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and then proceeded to go on over to West End and drink up all the beer that Vanderbilt had to sell. I've got to tip my hat to these alcoholic beverage consumption individuals that this city has never seen the likes of before.
So you're
That's
saying
what I know.
Wow. So you're saying they're right up there with the Chicago Bears fans who were legendary
up there above the Blackhawks.
Wow.
Thank you for the phone call. Okay. I talked to some people who went to that game who were huge LSU fans, and they were down there at the crack of dawn Saturday morning. Down there partying, having a good old time.
The tide is high for the LSU.
Look, if your team looks like that, there's a reason.
I wouldn't say tide. I wouldn't use that.
Probably
word.
Not a good reference.
No.
That's not good. But there's a reason to be excited and to be all in on that team. But, yeah, they were down there for the walk and everything. I mean, they were down there at 8 o'clock. Hanging out.
You know what I read a lot of this weekend on the some of the Titans Facebook groups? Oh, Joe Burrow. We should get Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow would look good in a Titans uniform.
How did Urban Meyer ever let Joe Burrow get out of Ohio? Colin Cowherd.
Does he know anything about Joe Burrow?
Let's go to Colin Cowherd on line two. Colin, how did Joe Burrow ever get out of the state of Ohio? Well, he was actually there 3 years at Ohio State, and he transferred. Oh, okay. Thanks for the call, Colin. Let's go to Doug. Doug, what do you know?
Hey, guys, you kind of started my "this is what I know," but so I dug a little deeper. You've got Cheney for UT at $1.5 million. You got Harbaugh at $7.5 million. You got Tomlin at $7 million and topped out with Chucky at Oakland for $10 million. That's over $25 million in yearly salaries on four coaches. And a total wins this weekend was over four for that quartet. This is what I know. You can't throw that kind of money that would burn a wet mule and continue to do it and keep your program going. This is what I know.
Okay. Thank you,
Doug. Highway robbery.
All right. That's a good point. They didn't fare well, did they? Let's go to Mike in Gallatin. Mike, what do you know?
Hey, here's what I know to piggyback off the LSU fans drinking Vanderbilt out of alcohol. But not only that, they let the LSU marching band take over the field and put on their own pregame show and just pretty much own the stadium from start to finish out there. That's what I know.
You know what, Mike? I was told the same thing, and I was surprised. I didn't see that, but I was told from people who were there, and I was surprised.
I was at the game, and it happened. They played the whole "The Tiger" song, the whole shebang. So,
is that normal? Do we know? Maybe we need to ask that to Mitch tomorrow. Is that normal for the visiting band to get out there and do their thing on your field?
I've never seen that happen before until this past weekend. It was very surprising.
Mm. Thank you for the call, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Let's see. Let's go to Robert down in the borough. Robert, you're up next. What do you know?
This is what I know. The Chiefs are not going to go very far in the playoffs if they can't tighten up that defense. That offense looks great. The weapons look good. But if you can't stop anybody, especially when Lamar Jackson completes less than 40% of his passes in the first half, you're not going to win very many football games when it gets cold outside.
Okay. Well, that has certainly bit him in the rear in the past. We know Andy Reid. He's a Hall of Fame regular season coach. Has been a Hall of Fame playoff coach. But I'll tell you what, that offense is not just any old offense. It is special. Special. Let's get one more in. Jonah. Jonah, what do you know?
This is what I know. I know that if you are a broke college student, check your car, because you will find at least $5 hidden within all of your change.
Really?
Eat your food, get your lunch, check your car.
Check your car. Words of wisdom from Jonah. Thank you, Jonah.
All right. Thank you.
Everybody out there looking for money, go check your car. Jonah says there's $5 somewhere. Let's go take a break. Let's go check our cars. We'll come back, kick off the third hour. We'll get to Knoxville. Give us an extra minute. Max, I'm a little bit slower. I want to check my car for some change. We'll come back with David Ubbin. That's next on 102.5 The Game.